talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
And with that, we welcome you to an all-new episode of Brain Stew Wrestling. Good evening, everybody. Happy hump day to everybody.
Happy hump day?
Yeah, it's Wednesday. Everyone calls it hump day, but I call Wednesday Brain Stew Wrestling Day. That's what I call that. Entering the show tonight with Amaranth. Very good band from the European region. I don't know the specific country, but I've been addicted to this album all day. Love it. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. You can catch a show. We have our own Twitter account and Facebook. If you like us over at facebook.com/BrainStewWrestling or follow us at BSR Wrestling on Twitter. I know that's going to get some comparison to Steve Austin's BSR, but whatever. I could not fit Brain Stew Wrestling in one Twitter handle. So follow us at BSR Wrestling because BS Wrestling... It sounds really funny, but it sounds like, bullshit wrestling. And also, BS Wrestling was already taken. So, BSR Wrestling is our Twitter handle. You can follow me at Hams Gruber. He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. And, again, welcome everybody to the show. I am in a great mood despite being fat-shamed on the PATH train on the way home tonight. But I'm in a great mood. Here to talk some wrestling. And first, let's just shoot right out of the gate here, Strong. Adam Rose, Punchy.
Oof.
Wow. You could not have fucked your career more than Adam Rose. He's done. He's had it. Kiss your career goodbye. And the part that makes me feel really sad for Adam Rose is I saw the ESPN special with NXT. Adam Rose was in it, and he talked about his sick kid and how they struggle to pay bills. And he was getting a WWE paycheck. And he was already on his way out anyway as far as WWE was concerned. He was already jobbing to everybody in the jobber squad. And... I know they're not really called the Jobber Squad. That's what I call them. Social outcasts. And, man, Adam Rose, what happened with him, Punchy? He was arrested for tampering with a witness after an alleged altercation.
Well, here's what happened. What the tampering witness charge was. He was having an argument with his wife at their home, and he kind of, I guess, grabbed her face or like kind of did the face shove. And the tampering with a witness part came in when he tried to get her to not call the cops.
Not good.
He was suspended for 30 days. Now,
here's the breaking news about this story.
He's suspended indefinitely.
Which means if anybody, for those of you who may not know what that's the code word for, suspended indefinitely, if you see any entertainment personality get suspended from their network indefinitely, they are done.
Yeah.
Suspended indefinitely means we are firing this guy. If the heat doesn't calm down soon enough, that's right. What suspended indefinitely means.
So okay, so she, I got some more about that story. So she called the cops, and he took the phone away as she was on it.
Oh boy,
yeah, that's not gonna look good.
Oh boy, and to think I saw the ESPN special about Adam Rose, the NXT talent, and man, I feel really bad for the family. Because I'm pretty sure in the ESPN special, he said several times, they are relying on his wrestling contract to pay their bills.
Yeah.
And they were struggling hard.
And he gets
like, Adam Rose lives in a house in Florida that I can afford for Florida. So that should just show you what's going on with Adam Rose. And, man... His life wrestling wise is over. I mean, he's going to be on the indies or even worse TNA for a job.
You know, like he's someone who I definitely see going to TNA, because they live in Florida, like it's an easier schedule.
It's a much easier schedule.
That's why I like certain WWE people will go to TNA because it's right there.
Also, he can maybe join ROH. We don't know. I mean, I know people might think that we're already looking two steps ahead for Adam Rose, but from our experience just observing people, media personalities get suspended, quote unquote, indefinitely, they're done. Adam Rose is done with WWE. Mark my words on this. He will be fired from WWE by this time next week. By our next show, we will be saying that WWE has released Adam Rose from his contract. Mark it.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. And I feel terrible for Adam Rose. I feel bad for the family, but who knows? We don't know what the argument transpired between Adam Rose and his wife. It could have been a argument about how medicine costs for the kid. I mean, I can't imagine Adam Rose making that much money in WWE. I just can't. He's on the very bottom of the totem pole. I mean, even Ryback was way above Adam Rose as far as interest from McMahon, interest from the crowd, etc., etc. Adam Rose was at the bottom of the barrel, and WWE just needed an excuse to get rid of him. That's all they needed. And he gave them all the reasons to fire him on a silver platter. He is done-ski with WWE.
Dude... And here's the thing, too. He's such an idiot because he's already serving a wellness policy suspension. And a bunch of people just got fired. If this had happened a few weeks ago, like Sandow, for example, got fired. Like, these are people who. Would some of them might still have a job if it weren't for the fact that if this had happened like a week earlier.
And WWE also released the Brooklyn Brawler today.
Yeah.
Which is a surprise factor for me because I didn't know the Brooklyn Brawler still worked for WWE. That's the shocker right there. I had no idea the Brooklyn Brawler was still employed.
He was a road agent. He's been there for a while.
So WWE, they're basically Black Friday in reference to the NFL. Like the day after, like the Monday after the Super Bowl, is a day where teams fire coaches left and right. Like off the top of your head, Mike, who has WWE let go?
So, not including the likes of Barrett, who was gone anyway. They released Hornswoggle. They released El Torito. That was not a shocker because Primo Epico repackaged again.
And they're debuting next week.
Yeah. They released Damian Sandow.
Which, let's just stop right there for a second. Damian Sandow. I saw a very popular meme, and let me see if I could pull up on the video for you guys to show you what I'm talking about here. The caption says, with Damian Sandow... got over, released, and there's a photo below that of Roman Reigns saying, can't get over, is the WWE champion. And here it is.
Yeah. Oh, and Alex Riley was released. That's another guy who probably would, well, I don't know. They kept trying with him.
Yeah, here we go. Here's the meme. Yeah, there it is. Got himself over, gets released, can't get over, is the WWE champion.
That Vince is a stubborn mule. I
really don't understand. Damian Sandow took a horrendous gimmick with him trying to do impressions of everybody, and he got over. For a while, he was Damian Mizdow.
Yeah, like he did.
And fans loved him.
He did Miz's gimmick better than the Miz did. Let's be honest. He was more over.
He was more over as the Miz than the Miz was
as Miz.
Cool story, bro. In a chat room, she called and he took it away as she was on. Yeah, Adam. Yeah,
yeah. We mentioned that earlier.
We mentioned that right at the start of the show.
I read that exact message earlier.
Yeah,
when we were talking about the story.
Now, again, it could have been an argument over medical bills for their child. It could have been a argument about his paycheck. It could have been an argument about money. I mean, as a divorced person here, I can tell you, money will ruin any relationship ever. Adam Rose probably wasn't making as much money as they needed to survive, and the wife probably got sick of it, and the relationship was falling apart anyway. We don't know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that could be the case. Or it could have just been a regular argument. Or maybe he just...
It could have been an argument.
It could have been frustrations over being suspended.
The point is, he grabbed the phone out of her hand, and in today's day and age, if you even remotely aggressively touch anybody, especially if it's man to woman, the cops will be called, you will be questioned, and you will most likely be arrested, and you're screwed. And for PG-friendly WWE, they have zero patience for this. Zero. Adam Rose is done. I said, I'm broken record now saying it. Adam Rose is completely
so
done.
Screwed.
Whether he goes to TNA or maybe Ring of Honor, we don't know. Whether he will even be released. He's still technically under contract with WWE. We don't know yet, but again, and I'll say this again, last thing on Adam Rose, mark my word, he is done with WWE by next week's show. We will open next week's show with the announcement that Adam Rose is officially with WWE. Hear it this way, guys. If we open the show with Vince McMahon saying, "You're fired,"
that's Adam Rose. Yeah.
It's Adam Rose.
So,
any other news stories besides Adam Rose? That's the big one.
We just spent like 15 minutes talking Adam Rose. So we talked about the Brooklyn Brawler. WWE is naming their upcoming Hawaii live event Bash at the Beach.
Well, they own the rights to WCW, so why not call it Bash at the Beach? Just don't have Hulk Hogan come out and betray WWE and join the Outsiders. Just don't do that. Or don't have Jeff Jarrett come out and just lay on the floor and get pinned by Hogan with his foot. And then have Vince Russo come out.
Oh, man. Although, like, a lot of big moments.
Those are the only two memories from Bash at the Beach I can remember.
No. Hogan debuted in WCW. Like, that was his first match, Bash at the Beach.
Okay, so Hogan debuting.
Hogan joined
Hogan, the NWO forming, and the infamous incident with Hogan and Russo.
All of them involve Hogan. All of the biggest moments of that event.
They're not talking around the Russell. Sue us like Gawker. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. He's filed another lawsuit. We'll get to the rest of the top five stories real quick. But Hogan is filing another lawsuit against Gawker Media.
Why? Like what?
Here's the thing. Well, we all know what happened with the previous lawsuit that he won a boatload of cash from, which was a leak to sex tape. Now, he's suing them for leaking his racist tirade, or at least leaking the transcripts of his racist tirade that got him fired from WWE. And you know what? As frivolous as I think this lawsuit is, I'm on hashtag Team Hogan. Just because fuck Gawker Media. I can't stand Gawker Media. Go Hogan. Sue him into oblivion. I don't care. Gawker had the balls to come out and say, as far as the Aaron Andrews peep show incident with the ESPN reporter, they came to her defense saying no one should publish anyone's private lives, blah, 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 blah. Then they come right out and do the exact opposite with Hulk Hogan. When people said get rid of it, take it down, they said, fuck you, we'll do what we want. And boy, oh boy, did they pay for it in the form of $100+ million to Hulk Hogan.
And
greatest out of all Hulk Hogan's victories I've ever seen, that one against Gawker Media is my favorite. He dropped the leg drop of all leg drops on Gawker Media, and now he's gonna do it again. Go Hogan. Sue Gawker Media.
Yeah. They're like, fuck you, we're playing, and he's like, fuck you, pay me.
All right. Other top five news stories. Adam Cole, basically the guy in Reign of Honor, joined the Bullet Club at a recent Reign of Honor event. Bullet Club, it was a New Japan thing. It was a Reign of Honor thing. It people are making the Wolfpack symbol, NWO/Bullet Club symbol, at WWE events. Bullet Club is everywhere, and once you're Bullet Club, you're Bullet Club for life, apparently.
Yep. All right. So I'll do a little rundown of what happened that show. The main event, like, they had Dalton Castle beating ACH, Adam Page, and Roderick Strong. Cheeseburger and Thunder Liger beating The Addiction, which is Chris Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. War Machine beating the Briscoes to defend the Ring of Honor tag titles. IWGP champion beating Tetsuya Naito, defeating Kyle O'Reilly in a singles match, a non-title match. Okada and Moose defeating Tanahashi and Michael Elgin. Bobby Fish winning the Ring of Honor TV title against Tomohiro Ishii, which should, because they've had an absentee TV champion for a while. Bullet Club, which is the two tag teams in the group, not including Kenny Omega, beating Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, Kushida, and Matt Sydal. And then the main event was just Jay Lethal versus Colt Cabana for the Ring of Honor title. Like, it was hyped. It's like a big match. Let's see what we got here. The main thing was the lights turned back on, and Bullet Club had shirts for Cabana and Lethal, and then they went out again, and then Adam Cole was in the ring with a Bullet Club shirt on, and then it just became a super kick party where they laid out Lethal and Cabana and just random security and everyone else.
I know we finished our show with a question of the week, but here's a mini question of the week. Do you think the super kick is overused and overexposed in
pro wrestling? I like the move.
I think because it's easy and almost anybody can do it, but I think you say super kick, I say sweet chin music. And it's to the point now where even Dolph Ziggler is doing sweet chin music as a, quote, homage to Shawn Michaels. And Shawn Michaels even said on Austin's podcast, when asked about Ziggler,
yeah,
Michaels even said, dude, I appreciate you idolizing me, but you got to do your own thing.
Well, yeah, but you know what, though, the super kick?
Cool story, bro, with a very loud yes, with many, many exclamation points. So you know he's really serious about his mindset. You know he's really meaning it. I tend to agree there, sir. Super kick overexposed to me. You say super kick, I say sweet chin music, and there's only one person I've ever seen can do a super kick.
But then again, remember, though, it's a sidekick. People have been doing that kick for years, even before Michaels made it his finisher. Because remember, his finisher was originally the teardrop suplex before he started doing sweet chin music as his main finisher.
Yeah, but it seems I think everybody does a super kick now. I can't go Monday Night Raw without seeing at least two different people do a super kick.
Okay, well, you can also say, hey, you know what? Shawn Michaels does it better than all these guys because his gets the pin.
Right.
So that's actually showing more respect and credence to Shawn Michaels' super kick that it's not ending matches.
I think it's just a lazy move, and it's a crutch for a lot of people. I think it's become like a lot of people don't even do a regular standard suplex anymore. They do variations of a suplex. Super kick has just become as boring as the suplex to me. Just because everyone does it. But anyway, getting back to the news stories of the week. Kevin Owens are probably our favorite guy right now.
Yeah, he's
easily one of our favorite performers. Kevin Owens was on ESPN talking with Jonathan Coachman. Where did I say to start this? 2:30, right, my punchy? Yeah, I did. Kevin Owens was on the Jonathan Coachman's show on ESPN, and one of the questions that he was asked is, how can a guy his size do the things he does in the ring? Here is that exchange between Coach and Kevin Owens on ESPN.
Incredibly popular. I think one of the reasons that you are is that you're kind of the everyman, but you can do things that the everyman cannot do. You're a bigger guy, but you get around the ring like a smaller guy. How have you been so innovative with some of the moves and some of the things that you're able to do?
Well, you know, I think what's helped me throughout the years is that when I started training, I was actually, you know, I was 14, 15 years old, and I was maybe 150 pounds, which is why my first favorite wrestler, you know, after I watched WrestleMania 11, the reason I wanted to become a WWE superstar was because of Shawn Michaels, because I could really relate to him and what he did, because he was smaller than all the other guys on the show, but he was the most impressive one to me. Obviously, throughout the years, I, you know, packed on some weight and got a little bigger, but I never stopped performing all those moves. I never stopped, you know, the segment's called Off the Top Rope. I never stopped going off the top rope. I always did those things. I always kept up with that stuff, and I think it's worked out because now I'm 266 pounds and I'm still able to do that stuff, which, you know, most guys my weight can't do.
He does have a very fair point there. Kevin Owens is a bigger guy. You would not expect, if you see Kevin Owens walking down the street, you would think, oh, he's just a little, he's a little overweight there. And he probably he's probably not an athlete of any type. But you look at what Kevin Owens can do in the ring.
And yeah, like, it's like he does things that he shouldn't be able to do, like a guy of his build. Again, though, he's got a point. Like, yeah, there's like athleticism underneath the build. Like,
one of my favorite things he does is when he gets a person in what I call the stink face position, which is head resting on a bottom turnbuckle. He runs from the other side of the ring and does a tumble right into him. And you don't see a lot of big guys do a lot of tumbles, flying or anything. Owen still jumps off the rope. He still goes through tables. He still does frog splashes. He still does that tumble thing I love. Owens is one of the most impressive for his body.
Yeah, he's like,
I mean, are there more athletic people on the roster? Are there more physically in shape people on the roster? Absolutely. But Kevin Owens is a guy who should not be able to do the things he does, and he does them better than a lot of other people can do. And I think it's what he said. He's been doing it his whole wrestling life, and it just comes second nature to him now. Owens is one of the most impressive performers I've ever seen because of the things he can do.
You know, I don't mean to brag or anything, but
like you said, it's who you are. And
he started getting back into character.
I
don't mean to brag.
Finally, all of us deal.
Yeah, I figured you would. I figured if anybody appreciates bragging, it's you.
Thank you very much. You're part of that NXT movement, and really in the last couple of months, a lot of the other guys have been brought up. But you've been brought up for a couple of years now. What was it like changing from NXT and moving on to the main roster?
NXT was actually a pretty amazing experience on its own, just because I went from wrestling in, you know, these tiny, I don't know, church basements and bars and stuff like that to finally, you know, going to NXT, the Performance Center, which is...
Don't talk about TNA like that.
Yeah.
Don't talk about a TNA live event like that.
This incredible facility where if you want to train to be a professional wrestler and to do this for a living, there's no place like it.
How bad is it?
You know, like I said, I first...
The Performance Center has more attendance than a TNA roadshow.
Like, leave TNA alone. They're trying.
Leave TNA alone, guys.
Chris Crocker this. You're going to Chris Crocker this shit on TNA. Leave Dixie Carter alone. Please.
Oh, in a barn, so it's quite the upgrade there. And NXT is set up in a way that it'll prepare you for when you come out on Raw on that stage and you make your debut on Raw and SmackDown. And
one of the best heel turns I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's congratulating Sami Zayn, and then boom, he just slams down and then turnbuckle power bombs him into the side of the ring.
It's to prepare you for that moment. And, you know, I was in NXT for about 6-7 months, but it really did prepare me for that, which is why, you know, on my first night on Raw, I laid out John Cena, which is not a bad way to start, you know? So, but.
And he beat Cena clean. That is.
Yeah. Like, that's.
He can retire tomorrow. And everyone will be like,
done something that maybe four other wrestlers have done, like in the last.
I know we're rehashing this bit again, but Owens, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Who before CM Punk and Daniel Bryan has beat John Cena, Super Cena? We're not talking when Cena was the rapper guy. When Cena was the face of the company, who beat him clean?
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody's beat. Yeah. Well, actually, technically,
we're pretty decently nerdy wrestling fans here, and we can't remember
anybody. Yeah, nobody. Maybe Orton.
Maybe Orton in one of their 1,000 matches they've had together.
I'm gonna look this up. I kind of want to know the full list
because you saw Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 23. He didn't beat Cena. You saw Triple H at WrestleMania 22. Didn't beat Cena.
All right, so there's actually a Reddit page, every clean win over John Cena since 2005.
No, really?
Yeah. CM Punk's not on the list because it wasn't a clean win. So, all right, here's, again.
Oh, my God, you're right. Technically, it wasn't.
Every clean win over John Cena since 2005. Here's the actual list. It's actually more than you thought you would think. Shawn Michaels, Raw, April 23rd, 2007.
Wasn't that the one where they had Match of the Year? Was that the match of the year nomination?
And then this one wasn't. Great Khali, Saturday Night Main Event, June 2nd, 2007.
See, just stop right there. The Great Khali beat John Cena clean? No.
Well, that was when they were still pushing him seriously as like a monster heel.
All right, now I'm interested. Keep going, because a lot of people might be not understanding of just...
One thing I'm noticing, too, is...
A lot of people think that only 3 people in, like, 10 years have beaten Cena clean. So let's go from the most recent to the oldest, Mike.
All right, so yeah... I already started with oldest, so...
All right, then continue on.
This next one's not a shocker. Triple H, Night of Champions, 2008.
Okay.
One thing I'll point out, there's no repeats on this list either. Batista, SummerSlam, 2008.
Oh, wow, that's like two pay-per-views in a row he lost. Okay.
The Big Show, Raw, March 30th, 2009.
You had Great Khali and the Big Show go over on you.
Another one that's not a shocker, just because of the amount of matches these two have had, Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell, 2009.
Yeah, it's not really that significant, because Orton and Cena had a lot of matches together. Is Edge on? Edge has to be on there, because...
No.
Wait a minute. Cena's best rivalry is with Edge. Okay, can we at least agree on that?
Even Money in the Bank, though, you can't consider a clean win because Cena had just done the Elimination Chamber match.
Right, but what about one of their...
No, remember,
clean,
he always...
Going over he, clean is one, two, had, three in the middle of the ring. You're right.
He always had Lita like kind of helping him out during that feud.
Oh, my God. One of the greatest rivalries of all time.
Yeah.
And Edge always used Lita. Oh, now that... Edge's rivalry with Cena is kind of tarnished now, because I thought Edge might have had just one win clean over Cena. All right, what else is on this Reddit page? I'm curious. I'm really curious about this now.
All right, so we left out for Randy Orton. The next one, not a shocker, The Rock, WrestleMania 28, once in a lifetime.
Twice in a lifetime.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam 2013. Brock Lesnar, SummerSlam 2014. And Kevin Owens, Elimination Chamber.
That's right. So in the past 4 or 5 years, there's like only been 4 people who have beaten Cena clean.
So up until 2000, like from 2005 to 2009, like 2007, 2009, Cena was losing clean twice a year. Now it's been downgraded to once a year. So the Undertaker wrestles as much as John Cena loses clean.
You're right. Oh, my God. That's scary. That's a really scary statistic. The Undertaker wrestles more matches than John Cena loses. Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. That was very informative, and that was very... That was quite educational, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, because I know CM Punk didn't count, because all of his wins did have some shenanigans.
Right. Okay, so that half an hour went by quick. So let's get started with the second half of the show. Monday Night Raw recap. Punchy, where do you want to go from this?
Well, actually, before we go to Raw, I do want to mention one thing too, going back to the releases thing. Jim Cornette had some words for Triple H. on Twitter.
Oh boy.
Shocking. WWE News. Shocking WWE News. They have renewed the contract of Triple H, and then in parentheses, aka slow-headed son-in-law. Wouldn't you know who won the pony? It was, sorry, previous tweet didn't have Triple H's correct Twitter handle, since he's had a number of assumed names, none of which got over.
Wow. I'm sorry, Triple H never got over?
No, okay.
You dummy.
Cornette makes one great point. Triple H wasn't the guy who was the guy. He was the guy who feuded with the guy. So thus, his name was out there a lot more.
You're right, but if Triple H never got over, I dare... You say Triple H never got over, I say Monday Night Raw in 2002 when he returned from his quad injury. That's the loudest ovation I think I have ever, ever heard.
Yeah, well, until you hear Rollins returning.
Oh my god. Another mini question a week. What's the biggest pop you ever heard?
Wow, huh?
That's a big one.
Rollins cashing in is the one I can remember because it was a huge stadium full of people cheering that cash in.
You know what? Hold on. Let's. You know what? I think we could ditch our first question of the week, our original question of the week, and do this for just a second here. Here we go. Here's Triple H's return in 2002. Mr. Cornette, if you ever find yourself watching this, you say Triple H never got over, I present this. Yeah, that's not over at all. Oh, man, listen to that crowd hate Triple H.
No, that's not what he means, though. Like, so when he says didn't get over, like, again.
That's not over?
Let me finish. And listen, that's a return pop.
He got cheered every week leading up to that WrestleMania.
It's a return. Well, yeah, it was. Come on, it's WrestleMania season. But what he means though, like he said the over comment there. But his main argument with Triple H was Triple H was never actually the guy, or the guy who drew money.
I completely disagree with that. I think Triple H worked even harder than everyone else because
that's
he
not,
was.
Again, no, that's not what he's talking about though. Again,
I may be misunderstanding here because you read his quote saying Triple H never had a gimmick that got over, and I'm playing this. Never got over my ass. Triple H has always gotten over as far as being a face and especially being a heel. His evolution stable? Are you kidding me? Most hated stable
again.
Arguably the most hated stable in WWE history.
Again, though, look at the deck again because they present Triple H as if he was like the guy in WWE for years. Yeah, he won the championship, but he was never, ever the main draw.
Now I'm not, you know, kissing Triple H's ass here. I've always referred Triple H as the Led Zeppelin of wrestling because all of his moves have been done by other wrestlers before. I don't think he's had an original move that he made his own move. He always did versions of moves other people have done already. So that's why I refer to him as the Led Zeppelin of wrestlers. But doesn't mean that he didn't bust his ass and work his ass off. I think he worked even harder than anyone else because he was dating Stephanie McMahon and he knew he got heat from everybody behind the scenes. He goes, oh, you're dating Stephanie? Of course you're going to be given the title, or of course you're going to be in the main event picture. You're dating the boss's daughter. But I think Triple H was great in every feud he was in. I can't take that away from him. Especially when he was a heel, I loved hating him every week on Raw, and especially with Evolution, with that smug look on his face every week. Man, dude, I hope for someone, anybody, to come out and kick his ass every week. And then when he finally did lose in Evolution, whoever beat him got an insane pop.
Yeah, but again, though, okay, so...
Maybe Cornette was mean something else. But when I hear never had a gimmick that got over, Triple H clearly got over. Maybe not as Ichabod Crane back in the day, but
the Greenwich Snob really didn't get over. Like it kind of did take, you know, teaming up with Shawn Michaels to get him over the hump. And so the one thing that's not fair from Cornette's statement is that Triple H's growth was stunted a little bit because of the curtain call.
Right, and he ate those jobs. He ate those burials. He was people do the shovel meme thing with Triple H. Triple H was buried deep.
And I honestly think that's like, cuz you see, here's and the thing too, Cornette's very bitter about the guys who were part of the clique. But
Jim Cornette bitter? You don't say.
But here's the thing though. I get what he means. Like, they're presenting him as if he was the guy in WWE, but he really made his, like, all right. So all the time he's been a bit in the main event scene, either during Austin's time there, The Rock's time there, or John Cena's time there. But they are presenting Triple H as if he's like at or above their level.
Easy. My response to that: Austin is, I think either the number one or the number two draw WWE's ever had next to Hulk Hogan.
But he's feuded with them.
Of course, he feuded with them. If Austin and The Rock are the number one and two guys of that whole era, Triple H was number three.
So I think he's talking about WWE's kind of revisionist history about Triple H, where they're like talking about as he's like the guy who was the top draw, when really, I mean, he was feuding with the top draws all the time. Which, hey, you know what? That's an important role.
Sure, I mean, but what promotion has ever overhyped one of their talents before?
I think he's saying he's getting like a more of a revisionist history because he's married to Stephanie. But his whole gripe with the clique is kind of how, as they say in wrestling, they would constantly go into business for themselves.
Oh, of course there's backstage politics all the time.
But like, they did it a lot, and they didn't give a shit about kayfabe or anything like that.
I mean, if I were any of those guys, I probably wouldn't do it either. And remember, like you said earlier, Mike, it was Nash, Hall, and Michaels who got Triple H to come out of his shell. Because Triple H was like the nice company guy, and it was the other three that really kind of sort of made Triple H find his attitude. Not to use that phrase.
Attitude error.
It took the three of them to find Triple H's attitude.
Yeah. I mean, like, no, I think it's not so much them as much as the mix of them and the chip he had on his shoulder from being buried because of the curtain call.
Of course. I'm sure there was a chip on his shoulder. But here's my question, then, before we move on to Monday Night Raw recap. Triple H, is he a top 10 all-time WWE draw slash attraction? Because if we were to make a top 10, let's get the easy ones out of the way. Stone Cold, The Rock,
Hulk Hogan.
Taker.
Yep. John Cena.
You have to put John Cena up there as one of the top 10 WWE superstars of all time. You have to put Cena up there. Again, this is no particular. We're just listing them.
You've got to put San Martino up there.
Yeah.
He was a massive draw for them.
He was the
Randy Savage. He's got to be there.
As far as in-ring talent and recognizability, yeah.
And he was the guy for a while.
Yeah. Randy Savage, so that's...
Would we count Warrior, seven. Or was his main event run too short?
I think it was too short.
Okay, CM Punk. I would absolutely put him up there. Because, like, even with...
As far as someone who made noise and made an impact... Yeah.
There was a very good stretch there where he was the guy. John Cena was considered the guy officially, but like, he was outselling Cena in merchandise.
Yeah, but I'm thinking longevity.
And, well.
I'm thinking longevity and their total careers. Not like, oh, have you worked longer than someone else? No. What I mean by longevity is, 20 years from now, will people remember CM Punk as much as they remember Triple H, for instance? I think more people will remember Triple H
More people will remember CM Punk overall because he's kind of like a cross-media guy.
I'm a little iffy on that one, but he has eight.
CM Punk's got the comics. He's got UFC stuff. Along with the WWE.
That's completely irrelevant.
Why?
I'm talking about what he did in WWE.
That stuff's a sign of being the guy, though. Like The Rock and Austin, like they were the guy in WWE, but they also like became more than just a wrestling name.
CM Punk has yet to be a UFC fighter. I don't think he ever will.
We'll see. They handpicked an opponent. I mean, once he heals from his back, Brock Lesnar.
Oh boy, that's a big one. Just for what he did for he's the one that bridged WWE professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. I mean, I'm sure there are other wrestlers who made the jump and did a little fighting. I mean, Paul Heyman does this in every promo. He defeated Randy Couture, who basically was the man in MMA. He defeated Randy Couture to become the heavyweight champion of the world in UFC. You cannot take that away from him. Once in a generation athlete. So there's nine. There's 10. We have room for one more, and I'm putting Triple H on that list.
Hold on. We didn't even say Shawn Michaels. We didn't even say Bret Hart.
See, that's why I would remove CM Punk. I would put Bret Hart there instead of CM Punk.
No, CM Punk gets to stay there because, again, he's a huge name. Like, he was a top two draw.
As big as Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart? I don't think so.
He's probably one of the biggest draws of the modern era. And if you're not going to include Punk, Daniel Bryan's run was too short.
I think Punk's run was too short. As far as a long-standing impact, I think it was too short.
No, it wasn't, because think about it like this. He was, like, world champion pretty much numerous times throughout his career, aside from that stretch from 2011. He had the top gimmick for a while, too. Straight Edge Society. The world title feud with Jeff Hardy and The Undertaker. Like, if you add those, he abso-fucking-lutely deserves to be there.
See, Cool Story Bro sees what I'm talking about. I like Cool Story Bro in the chat room. Thank you, sir. I agree Triple H will be more remembered. You mentioned a scene with someone who doesn't know WWE at all, and it'll sound familiar. They won't have the slightest idea who Punk is.
But again, though,
I might disagree with that last part because people might know who CM Punk is. Because,
again, CM Punk's involved in more than just wrestling now, so his name's out there. That's
right,
my
but
point.
I don't care about other accomplishments. I'm talking about just as
why that factors
in WWE.
Again, though, that factors in, though. Not everyone remembers that. Not a lot of people are going to know that.
Well, by that logic, then Donald Trump should be up there. He could very well be the next president of the United States.
No,
and
he never
was involved with WWE
he never wrestled
for
a match.
Years.
We're talking about actual people who were at one point active full-time
wrestlers.
He helped
fund a few WrestleManias, and he shaved Vince McMahon's head at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but we're not talking about him as an actual in-ring performer. Donald Trump doesn't get on the list because he picked Bobby Lashley as his representative, who's fucking terrible. All right. The only legitimate world title reign he has is because TNA's like, hey, sign with us. We'll give you a world title reign. That's part of your contract because you used to work for Vince. All right. No, he does not count.
See, you're bringing in their other accomplishments outside of WWE.
But again, like if you're saying Lesnar bridged the gap between UFC, WWE, and MMA, and then discredited Punk for like not crediting everything Punk's done that's gotten him mainstream attention along with that wrestling.
I'm just listening to what he did.
Yourself.
I'm not saying that's the reason why I would put Lesnar on my top 10.
I'm just saying like one of the examples for Lesnar that you mentioned was that. So. In fairness, Punk, that gets to factor in for Punk, too, because he bridged entertainment.
I'm not talking about, but I wouldn't list Lesnar's credentials outside of WWE and UFC.
But you said that was
I
a
wouldn't
huge
do
factor
that.
Of what he did, though. So
I'm talking strictly
also,
a combination of in-ring talent, merch selling, celebrity value of, like, if you say, oh... Like back in the day when Hulk Hogan was just a wrestler before he did anything else, you said, oh, I don't know what wrestling is. Oh, that's the thing that Hulk Hogan does. I'm talking that. Where you say someone's name and you know, oh, that's the name of a wrestler. He's a wrestler. You say CM Punk, they'll say wrestler turned fighter. Yeah. You say Brock Lesnar, same thing. Wrestler turned fighter, except unlike CM Punk.
Wrestler turned MMA. No, no, don't unlike CM Punk, because Lesnar walked out too.
Oh, no, no. I was going to say Lesnar actually won matches and fights in UFC.
So here's the difference, though, between Lesnar and CM Punk. Lesnar left WWE before he got too injured and went to football and then MMA. CM Punk was just a road dog wrestler for decades before he decided to leave and then go to UFC. So CM Punk's... And then when Lesnar returned to wrestling, by the way, he wrestles part-time and is a dominating monster in the matches. So he really doesn't take a lot of bumps.
But it still doesn't change the fact that Lesnar still draws.
So, hold on.
You put Lesnar on a card.
That's not what we're talking about right now. Right now you're saying CM Punk hasn't fought yet, because CM Punk has decades worth of injury, and it's dumb that they signed him, and it's dumb that he's there. Let's see. Would China be on that list? She wasn't a top draw, though.
Women wrestling? Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, but like...
Only woman to ever enter the Royal Rumble, I believe, and the only woman to win a singles title not named the Women's Championship. Yes, China abso-fucking-lutely deserves to be on the top 10 women wrestlers of all time. Absolutely.
Here's
the way I'm thinking of it. The way I would make my personal list.
If we add female wrestlers, though, it doesn't help Triple H's case.
No, it doesn't. Triple H would be completely off the list.
He's totally off the list then. But again,
if we were to have a list for women wrestlers and another separate list for male wrestlers.
So, like, and then.
Possibly.
Again, so you add Punk, Michaels, Bret Hart. Triple H is out of the top 10. He's still close to the top 10. I'll give him that.
All right, who's your top 10? And I'll name you my top 10. How about we do that?
We already did that, though. We already did make, like...
But I was kind of sort of agreeing with you on that.
You were pretty much agreeing. I had to argue Punk a bit, but I think he deserves it because he's been a top guy for longer than we... Like, he wasn't just a top guy starting at 2011. Like, they gave him numerous World Heavyweight Championship runs, too.
If I were to put my personal top 10, I'm going to try to do this in order. Number one, Stone Cold. Number two, The Undertaker. Three, The Rock. Four, Hogan. As far as who I think are the biggest stars of all time. Bret Hart. Shawn Michaels. I would say Randy Savage. Oof.
Yeah.
Man, this is much harder than I thought. Dare I say, I would put maybe Chris Jericho.
You know, someone actually made a list of like top draws by year in a forum.
Is it Reddit? I love Reddit.
No, it's a wrestlingforum.com, but still though.
You know what? Yeah, I probably would put CM Punk on my list.
Yeah.
I probably would.
Now that you think about it, CM Punk.
I'm thinking the entire package. Like, I'm thinking just wrestling. He had the talent in the ring. He had the mic talent. He had the presence. He had the respect of people in the locker room. He had the draw of the fans. Yeah, those are the five factors that I think so. That I think any wrestler should strive to do. All right, yeah. I would put CM Punk on my top 10 list.
And like Triple H, again, Triple H wouldn't be remembered by somebody who doesn't know much about WWE. Like, because he like was strictly like was in the occasional movie here and there, but nobody's going to fucking remember Blade 3. Nobody remembers Blade 3.
Yeah, no one remembers that movie.
Nobody's going to remember The Chaperone. You know? Like, so by Cool Story Bros pointed out, like, who would be remembered if you ask someone on the street who's not too familiar with WWE, Punk has the advantage there over Triple H. Plus, Punk is responsible for a lot of people getting back into wrestling.
But see, here's the thing.
My counterpoint. Whereas Triple H and Cena were a huge part of a lot of wrestling fans having a mass exodus.
Here is what I'm disagreeing with you on. because you are, the way you're picking is their overall life accomplishments along with their WWE accomplishments.
No, see, here's the thing, though. Like, a lot of the stuff I'm talking about with Punk is because he was a top draw. The Rock's acting career, which is what a lot more people now on the street are going to recognize him for than wrestling.
Well, of course, they're going to see that because...
happened because he was a top draw in WWE. To the point...
not to mention he had the looks, he had the comedic timing, he had the acting skills.
So a lot of these people weren't just a main event wrestler. They were a top... they were like almost like a rock star in the wrestling industry. That's why I put San Martino on the list. Because... like back in that time when people thought wrestling was an actual real thing,
San Martino was the original Hulk Hogan. Like how people say Frank Sinatra was the very first pop star and real big time celebrity singer. San Martino was the very first major huge wrestling star. Everyone knew who he was back then.
So everybody knew. Holy crap! It's like almost 11.
Yeah, we'll give you guys extra time today.
Yeah, we'll give you a little extra time.
Let's go until top of the hour. We'll break. We got to sign off of MLR, and we're going to do the Monday Night Raw recap. So let's end this top of the hour with the question of the week, which I don't even remember what it was before
biggest,
we signed on.
Biggest pop you remember?
Biggest pop ever.
I'm going to say not even Triple H's return pop, and that's not a... they're furthering my argument, but the two big, because that pop's not as big as like most WrestleMania pops that I remember. Like Austin winning the title for the first time was a very big pop, a massive pop. Rollins cashing in, or no, Daniel Bryan winning the title, a massive pop, and probably like one of the top five recent moments.
Here you go. Here's Austin winning the title.
Austin. Back up somehow. Uh-oh. Austin ducked it. Austin going for the stunner. And Michaels counter. Michaels going for another kick.
That's
Austin,
a very good exchange.
The stunner. Mike Tyson in. Austin is the champion. Stone
yeah, that's a pretty big pop.
Now find Stone Daniel Bryan winning the title. You know, and the WrestleMania, like WrestleMania 30. It was like not the SummerSlam one, which also was a huge pop. WrestleMania 30, Daniel Bryan wins the title. That was a really good crowd, too, actually. Like, every pop was massive. But here we go. Randy Orton. I'm going to punt him. My name is Randy Orton.
Randy Orton sent Batista.
Daniel Bryan with a knee! Daniel Bryan with a knee!
I am the face of the WWE.
Batista! Daniel Batista! Come on, Bryan! Come on!
Randy Orton away and win the championship. There's a Batista.
Yeah, this one, like... there we go. And he did it to Batista, who was despised.
Batista.
Come on, Daniel. Come on, Daniel. Tap out Batista. Tap out Batista. Tap out Batista. No way. Batista's going to tap. Batista's going to tap. He tapped.
Oh. All right. That's a big one.
All right. So now,
but remember.
Now, not by comparison, just so we're not saying it's just the crowd, look up Cesaro winning the Battle Royal from that same WrestleMania, which is a huge pop, but not as huge pop, but I don't think as big as the Daniel Bryan one. Like, that WrestleMania had a lot of huge pops, though, and one segment of stunned silence for a few minutes. All right, I think the bigger pop, though, is when he actually picks up the Big Show, so just start from there. Again, so we can get a comparison of that crowd, because it's the same crowd.
That's more impressive than Hogan body slamming the Giant.
Yeah, that's. I think we actually talked about that.
We did talk about this on a much earlier episode.
Cool story, bro. Saying Rock versus Hogan had pretty good pops, but you know that was like on Mark Out Radio, the show that I used to do. That was more impressive than Hogan slam because like Cesaro had to actually carry him and slam him out.
I think one of the biggest pops I've ever heard was the Triple H return. I got one. I remember. Okay.
And I honestly think Rollins' return pop is going to be bigger than Triple H's return pop.
I got a very funny feeling. This one will not be topped for a while. This is when The Rock returned in 2011 after 7 years or whatever away from WWE when he was announced as the host of WrestleMania. So here we go.
Oh, they kept it as like a surprise. That's right.
Yeah, no one knew this was coming. When I saw the electricity on the sign, I'm like, all right, I kind of suspect it, but yeah, I did not expect it. I'm like, no way. Yeah. Yeah. That one was a big one.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the pop Rollins is going to get for his return is going to be thunderous. Wait, play Rollins wins. Didn't he win Superstar of the Year?
I'm sorry. I wanted to play the biggest pop I ever heard. I can't believe I just forgot this. This was...
And you know, while we're
this was during the invasion angle, and Austin was saying, oh, I don't have it anymore, and Vince was like, I want the old Stone Cold. Listen to the scream the crowd gave everyone.
Too many numbers. And this crowd coming alive, chanting for Stone Cold.
This, I'm sorry.
Oh, that was when he had the shitty Disturbed version of his theme too.
This is the biggest pop I ever heard. Because I remember watching this live. And the entire night, people were chanting, Austin, Austin. And then when Austin came back, you heard the glass shatter. I've never heard a crowd scream like that in my life. This is my pick for biggest pop
of all
time.
While we're talking about crowd reactions, one thing we should...
And by the way, Jim Ross saying he's parting the Red Sea made me laugh.
One segment that I always liked the crowd reaction for was when Punk returned on Raw with his title and Cena had beaten Rey Mysterio.
That was another big one.
But that was a very good, like dual crowd reaction. Because he would raise his arm with the title, and it would be a massive pop. Cena raises his hand with the title, and it's a massive booze.
All right, so we will be... We're going to take a break.
Yeah, and then we'll be back.
I got to do some tinkles. When we
you
come back...
go do your tinkles.
We are going to do the Monday Night Raw recap. If you're listening to us on More Like Radio, switch over to BrainStewRadio.com. If you're listening to the audio-only podcast, well, keep listening, because we'll be back right after this. And like I said, when we come back, Monday Night Raw recap, plus other news stories going around the world of pro wrestling. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. We'll be right back right after this.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to BrainStewMedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. The best radio on the internet is only one click away at MoreLikeRadio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out MoreLikeRadio.com and subscribe on iTunes. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.com. www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using a promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
About all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
All right, and we're back here at Brain Stew Wrestling. It is me, the Paul Heyman guy, Punchy, with Hammy, as usual. So we are going to talk about Raw for a bit. They're not as good of a Raw as it has been lately, but there's still stuff to talk about, like important stuff on there to talk about. So, like that. That's why we decided, hey, let's do bonus time and talk about Raw instead of just saying, fuck it, we had a good enough show, we can stop at 11. So, because we,
like, I like giving bonus content to the people, to the fine people who watched and listened to this show.
Hand me the people's champ.
That's right.
So,
I'm more the people's choice more than the people's champion.
Ew.
Because I have to win something to be the champion. That was really bad, wasn't
that
it?
That was bad.
Monday Night Raw.
So, yeah, you want to name yourself after the most
irrelevant... The People's Douche is more like it.
The most irrelevant award show ever, the People's Choice Awards.
Perfect description of my life.
Hey, guys, let's vote Twilight Best Picture. People's Choice Awards, guys.
Ew, they really did vote Twilight.
They probably did.
Ugh.
All the goofy, pimpled Stephanie Meyer fans. But... So, all right. So, we'll
quickly... Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw, guys. Ah! So, it started... The opening promo was Jericho coming down and running down Ambrose. At that point, though, Big Cass had a few words for Chris Jericho. And here we go as the video is loading up. Hey, I'm breaking the fourth wall. Colt Cabana, hi.
Here we go.
All right, let's see a Big Cass.
Tonight, my guest on the highlight reel was supposed to be Dean Ambrose, but he's not here because of me.
By the way, Mitch the Plant is more over than Roman Reigns.
Last week, I assaulted him.
It's sad that an inanimate object is more over than Reigns.
Vertigo.
And it's got better charisma.
Moppy is more over than Roman Reigns.
You're welcome.
Because of me.
Yeah, but Moppy... You know, Moppy was
so
awesome.
He's not going to be
Don't
here
knock
tonight.
Moppy was a better draw than Triple H.
He might not be in the WWE for a long, long time because of me.
Jericho invented putting people on the shelf, guys.
But Jericho invented everything.
I've got the next
even partying
thing.
So much no one wants to work with him. That's another story we didn't talk about, by the way. So there's a little Mitch the Plant, like him breaking the code of why Mitch the Plant is so popular.
Oh, drink it in, man.
Jericho plays a smug heel so
big. This is the gift of Jericho. This is the gift. If you ever hand this to me as a gift, you better hand me the receipt. Because the second you turn around, I'm headed to the store to return it. How you doing?
You know what? Real quick, I will give Cass
credit
for sticking with by the way, I just noticed the photo of the little kid in the back.
Yeah, like those giant head photos are hilarious. Wait, is that
It's not Connor the Crusher.
I was gonna say
some random little kid.
Yeah, maybe someone's like, I'm gonna make a big sign of my thun's head called my thun special.
It certainly is. I give Cass big credit for sticking with this, man. Enzo Amore.
I give Cass big credit.
Big credit, yes. Enzo Amore out with a concussion injury.
How you doing?
Enzo, let's be honest, was the mic piece of this tag team. So yeah. I give, first off, Cass credit for sticking with it and trying to do something with it. And I also give WWE credit for letting him, for giving him the opportunity. So big ups to both parties there.
Chris, I'm not running anywhere. That's not how we do things in the new era.
Oh,
we stand
shit.
And we fight. As a matter of fact,
a fact of the matter here,
we a big
fight
motherfucker, isn't
right
he?
Right
really tall.
Now,
hey, his mic skills aren't that smooth, but like,
have you forgotten?
He's definitely the Billy Gunn.
Would you say his mic skills are S A W F? No,
no,
they're more rough.
You may be the best in the world at what you do, but I am 7 feet tall.
And you can't teach that.
And the crowd can't teach that.
That
crowd's still going along with it.
So over. They better not break up that team.
You want to fight? Hmm? You want to fight? Huh? You want to fight?
What they should do is, if Enzo keeps getting hurt, turn him into a manager.
Yeah, that's a perfect thing to do with Enzo if he can't wrestle anymore. Turn him into a great manager. So Jericho gives a smug smile, scarf and all. I love that he was wearing just a scarf and the jacket, nothing else, like looking like a total douchebag. Loved it.
Jericho played this, and again, I do find it funny though. Like the only people who will do matches with him are Big Cass and Ambrose, because they don't give a fuck. Everyone knows, like, yeah, he parties too much at this point. Like, he's getting sloppy in ring.
So what else? What next from from Monday Night Raw do you want to discuss?
There was a backstage segment where AJ Styles said the club is back together. That's WWE's cutesy way of getting around the whole Bullet Club thing. And then Bullet Club versus the Bullet Club.
No, wait. I thought they were called the Busos.
Both. It's kind of like NWO.
Oh,
NWO
okay.
Wolfpack.
So it's not the Usos, right. It's the Busos. But when Roman Reigns is with them.
So when they're not facing the Bullet Club guys, they're the Busos. When it's them versus the Bullet Club guys, it's Bullet Club versus Bullet Club.
Got it. Okay.
So an elimination tag match was announced for that for later. And then we had some Intercontinental title build.
Well, I'm playing a video of the
Roman Reigns getting booed.
Yes. The Bullet Club. The Bullet Club. I love that.
Because I'm the guy.
Rolling him up, shoulder down, kick out. Gallows with a right.
By the way, I noticed how almost every pinfall was won with a roll up.
Yeah. It's like Ring of Honor mid-2000s. It's like 90% of Daniel Bryan's Ring of Honor matches.
So let me ask you this. Are you happy with what they're doing with Reigns and Usos versus Styles and Gallows and Anderson?
Yeah, I just wish they would, like, you know, not try to make Reigns look like Cena in the early mid-90s or mid-2000s. That'd be nice. But, like,
you know, a mutual friend of ours had once said that Roman Reigns is the next John Cena. And I almost disagreed.
You know the main difference?
Every
though?
Time that she said it.
But now they're just like,
now I see that she's absolutely right.
And cool story, Reigns and AJ Styles have really good chemistry, actually.
They really do have great chemistry.
They, like, that match at Payback was actually pretty good. If you
horrible booking aside,
yeah, if you take out the shitty booking, like the constant start stop, and then the clusterfuck of interference from four different people, they have great
the
chemistry.
Match leading up to it, the match leading up to the bad booking was a, dare I use this pun intended, phenomenal match.
But, like, I do find it funny that they're making Reigns and the Usos try to, like, seem heelish. But they're, like, trying to present it as if Reigns is being the misunderstood good guy.
So, but Mike, he's not a good guy, and he's not a good guy,
there we
and
go.
He's not
hit
a bad
him.
Guy. He's just the guy.
Hit him with that chair. Yeah!
Unfortunately, what I really love to do is find video of Roman Reigns getting booed, as we have been doing for the past month. The crowd on this past Monday's Raw was pretty friendly for Roman Reigns. I mean, there are people still booing him.
But you can hear
in the background, the Usos are attacking Gallows and Anderson.
Some cities have more kids and women than actual real wrestling fans. But kidding. I know a lot of female wrestling fans who hate Reigns, too. I'm joking.
And they both will third guy to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
You're not lame, cool story, bro. You're not lame.
So, let's see. What else can we discuss about this Raw?
Yeah, you hear that? Reigns got... There's a little bit of boos there.
And again, they're making...
There are a few boos there, but it's mostly chairs. Reigns got cheered this
week. I don't
week.
Like this shit, though. He got hit with a chair, and now all of a sudden he's just taking down the entire bulk of... Except there. Because AJ Styles is the shit. I think if AJ loses at Extreme Rules, it's going to be because someone interferes, like Balor interferes, and they turn on him.
Mike, like I said, past couple of weeks now, there are three cities you just, if you're Roman Reigns, you do not want to perform in any of these cities. Chicago,
yep.
Philadelphia, and yep. the New York area.
And he'll be
and
going, guess where he
is? Guess where Extreme Rules is going to be? Right in our backyard yep. in Newark, New Jersey.
Yep.
A stone's throw away from New York City. For those of you who don't know where Newark, New Jersey is.
Oh, that reaction that's going to happen, though.
The reaction towards Roman Reigns will be astronomically negative.
I'm going to be rubbing my chest listening to the boos. And it's going to be the creepy Chris Benoit looking at the ECW title chest rubbing.
Whoa. You don't say the CB name.
I do what I want.
But I'm letting the video play in the background. This whole segment, yeah. AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, you said it right, cool story, bro. I am loving
great chemistry, yeah.
this rivalry.
And the problem, though, is they're trying to make Reigns be like a face, but there's no way he comes out looking like a face against AJ Styles.
No.
AJ Styles. And again, there's no way to turn, like, AJ Styles is just, at this point, been in the company for 5 months, and he's already a top draw.
Hold on a second, Mike. I got to give the observation of the night, if we even want to call it that, be like ESPN and market everything. Observation of the night to me is what Cool Story Bro just said. I didn't notice this. He said, I liked it when he threw the chair at AJ, daring him to use it. Yeah. I didn't notice that before.
There's little things that Reigns does right.
Very nice observation,
now, listen,
cool story, bro.
The stuff that like is the reason why people hate Reigns is not Reigns' fault, but he's just a victim of the circumstance.
I think if WWE lets Roman Reigns act on camera the way he does on Twitter, he will be so much more over with the fans.
But they won't, because they want to make him be...
They want to make him a superhero.
Yeah, they want to make him be the guy.
You know what's sad? Real quick, we said this off air right before we went on tonight. It's sad that Roman Reigns' theme song, which is basically the Shield's theme,
is now booed. Yeah,
is now booed. When just a few years ago, you hear dan, you hear that, and the fans were loving it.
Dan, yeah, like if it doesn't have the Sierra Hotel part, it gets boos.
So, what's next on Monday Night Raw recap?
So, a couple quick hits here about Raw. They're doing the Make Darren Young Great Again segments. I think that's great that they're giving something to Darren Young. They did some build for the U.S. title match between Rusev and Kalisto. I think Rusev, by the way, wins that one.
I would hope so.
More New Day goodness.
New Day goodness. I'm glad you mentioned New Day, because I have some clips. Not clips. I have a
rocks.
New Day does rock. I have a clip from the New Day. Here is a New Day segment from this past Monday Night Raw.
In 2 weeks at Extreme Rules, the New Day will take on the number one contenders, the Vaudevillains.
Wait, isn't it the Vaudevillians?
It's the Vaudevillains.
No, I thought it was the Vaudeville Villains. No,
it's the Vaudevillains. In a match that will be for our
WWE World.
Can I point out how awesome Xavier Woods' pointed boots are?
Yeah.
He wears the Iron Sheik boots.
I wonder if the Iron Sheik had a comment about that.
And in this extreme match,
We will use the extreme power of the extreme booty.
Oh!
Oh, hell! The booty!
Oh!
Our booty!
A Lion King reference.
It's the last one from Mania.
So it's obviously very important to us.
A fucking Lion King reference.
Don't appreciate a good booty. Oh. They're from a bygone era. An era that, frankly, was not too kind to people like us. You know, smartphone users.
Exactly.
Wow, dude. What a ballsy thing to do. Like,
oh, it's the New Day.
The New Day is like Pixar. They're doing a lot of kiddish things, but underneath the subliminal tones, they are so far rated R underneath all their messages, man. The New Day is my favorite thing going on in WWE right now for so many things. Above all else, they're very entertaining, but look at what they're doing with just as promo, for example. Back in a bygone era, meaning the 1800s, it was not kind for people like us, meaning black people.
Yep.
And he had everyone knew what he meant by that, and that's why people in the audience were going,
"Oh."
And then he times it just right. Smartphone users, what do you think I was meaning? Man, the New Day has no a very popular thing to say on the internet. New Jay has no chill.
Oh, it's great, though. It's fantastic.
If I didn't have my GPS, I wouldn't know how to get anywhere.
Yo, unlimited data is amazing.
Grandfathered in.
You too?
Yeah.
Whoa. And you can use that same smartphone to call your mammy, call your pappy, and tell them all that New Day rocks. New Day rocks.
Oh, Francesca.
Greatest thing going on in WWE right now. I dare anyone to find another character or characters more entertaining in WWE right now than the New Day. There just simply isn't. They're perfect. I love them so much.
All right. Actually, not much more to talk about.
This is how the closer of Monday Night Raw.
No, not yet. Two other quick things. Dana Brooke debuted. They did a segment.
Oh, that's right. I do have a clip for this.
They did a backstage interview with Becky Lynch, and she got interrupted by Emma, who, had a little backup.
Eye poke was all an accident. No. The eye injury I suffered at WrestleMania was an accident. What happened last week was intentional. So trust me. Trust me when I say the next time Emma and I are in the ring, she is in for an Irish last kick in.
And there's Emma, who's now just fantastic.
What a sorry excuse for losing a match to me. Becky, just admit it. You're inferior. And as far as that eye injury,
I never thought I'd be jealous of Zack Ryder.
You really need his eyes in the back of your
you
head.
You know it. And there's Dana Brooke with her.
Get her. Hey, Becky. Remember Dana Brooke, right?
Hey, Becky. E-N-D. Emma and Dana are here, and playtime is over. No, not today.
That's so passive aggressive. Like, that's one of the things Dana Brooke does right, is being very passive aggressive with that little head pat. But it's distracting when Dana Brooke does mic work.
The unfortunate thing is the crowd didn't really react to that.
Well, no, they don't know Dana Brooke. That's why, but Emma is fantastic as a heel. Like, I like her better as a heel than as the goofy, bubbly Emma. But, so Dana Brooke, one thing that's distracting about Dana Brooke for me is every time she talks, I'm going to call back to a previous guest in the show, KP Burke. KP Burke has a stand-up bit about dating a girl who had, like, that Midwestern accent. Every time Dana Brooke talks, it sounds like his impression of the Midwest accent.
Cool story, bro, in the chat room. If you describe to me what the New Day is, I would look at you like you were on crack. But damn it if it doesn't work for them. It's so good.
New Day rocks.
They and then, absolutely do.
And then, can we be honest? The Intercontinental, this is the best build an Intercontinental title feud has had in a while.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this title seems important.
Intercontinental title is gaining legitimacy in WWE. I love it.
They devoted quite a few segments on Raw to the Intercontinental title build, like, as much as the WWE title build. So there was
almost
a backstage. Yeah, there was a backstage segment where, like, it was like Miz, Cesaro, and Owens, where it's a triple threat match, and then Sami Zayn comes out and is like, "Oh well, you know, I think I should be in the match too." Basically. And then Stephanie says, "Oh well, if you beat the Miz, you're in the match too." So there was that, and then Miz versus Sami Zayn, which was the match of the night according to everyone. Sami Zayn wins. So he's there. So he's in the match now. Then there's another backstage segment with Owens, Ryder, and Shane. Owens like gets pissed and says that you know, someone can just whine and get a title shot, meaning Zayn. I think the point there is, though, that Owens kind of whines again in matches, too, and I guess that's what they're trying to do with that promo. And then Shane says, hey, well, Ryder versus Owens. If Ryder wins, he takes Owens' spot in the match. Owens wins, though, because they're not going to push Ryder after that, after the WrestleMania moment. They gave him his moment. They're like, whatever, you're back to jobbing to every single person in existence, Zach.
Yeah, but if you're dating Emma, it's really not that bad.
Your life is pretty good. Now,
I never thought I'd be jealous of Zack Ryder.
Yeah, but favorite Kevin Owens line of the night about Zack Ryder. Why do you exist? Oh, God. Kevin Owens and the New Day, the best things holding a microphone in WWE these days.
And Kevin Owens on commentary. Can Kevin Owens please go on commentary more often, please? It brought me back to when CM Punk was on commentary.
Could you imagine a commentary team with both Kevin Owens and Corey Graves? It'd be the snarkiest commentary team ever.
Add CM Punk to that, too.
Yeah. You got to know. You got to hear Corey Graves doing commentary, though. It's amazing.
I do. It's fantastic.
So, main event segment, which was basically... Oh, and the IC title build, it's the main event for SmackDown. It's six-man tag or four-man tag match, whatever. So the main event segment was supposed to be cast.
I mean, SmackDown's not really that watchable, and there's really nothing going on right for...
Their commentary team's on point, though.
The commentary is good, and there's really nothing like exclusive to look forward to on SmackDown.
Well, no,
this might get me to watch SmackDown.
Yeah, the main event, like the Cesaro and Zayn versus Owens, and I want to see Cesaro and Owens, Zayn team up, so that's why I'm like excited. So Ambrose, Jericho versus Big Cass was going to be, I guess, the main event at this point.
Yes.
Here's what happened.
Obviously, that is Chris Jericho coming out for his entrance.
Oh my God! I think somebody's attacking Jericho.
No, Jericho just tripped while standing.
And then someone put on his jacket.
To quote Kevin Owens, "Why do you exist, Michael Cole?"
All right, it's Jericho.
Wait for the reveal. And it's Ambrose.
I thoroughly enjoyed this segment.
Ambrose could be the next Austin if they just let him.
We're repeating ourselves down with this, but every time you hear Ambrose's guitar riff happen right in his
music. It's like the glass breaking.
It is just like the glass breaking. So here's Ambrose destroying Jericho's jacket.
That $10,000 leather jacket. You know he probably bought a second one for that segment.
Well, here comes Jericho to save his jacket. Just what Ambrose wanted. And Dean Ambrose taking out Jericho.
Ambrose always gets some of the biggest reactions of the night.
One thing I will notice, the Reigns, the Bullet Club versus the Bullet Club. That was midway through Raw. This segment's what closed the show.
Yep.
To which I applaud WWE for.
Cool story, bro. Jericho with the old man run.
Well, he is running for his age.
Yeah. Again, like I said, Jericho's he's been sloppy because he's just been partying too much.
He's also up there.
You idiot!
No, people. The problem people have is his partying. Like, it's continuing. And there's Big Cass.
Uh-oh. Remember, Big Cass was supposed to have a match at Jericho tonight. Get out of my way.
Are you out of your mind? Are you out of your mind?
Screaming, are you out of your mind at Jericho before smashing him into the barricade.
Are you out of your mind?
Throws Jericho in, and of course, Dirty Ambrose D's. Right into Dirty D.
You know, I kind of like Ambrose using that finisher because it's very much like Mick Foley's finisher, which, let's be honest, at
Jake,
this point...
And Jake the Snake's
at
finisher.
This point, if Ambrose wins the WWE title this year, it'll be Mick Foley style.
So this is how Monday Night Raw went off the air. So final thoughts on Raw.
Not as good as the previous week, couple month.
I completely agree, Mike. This
previous
week's Raw,
previous like since Shane took over, like it's been
the past 3 weeks have been pretty stellar. But this one, think about it this way. I'm trying to think positive here. Be like New Day. I'm using the power of positivity.
The power
of positivity. The Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania for 3 weeks in a row has been stellar.
Yeah.
This week was watchable, but meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Watchable, but meh. Still light years ahead of this time last year, I think.
Yeah. I will definitely give you that.
So Monday Night Raw, I would say for the past month of past 4 weeks episodes of Raw, I would say like a good 80% approval. For me, at least, this is the first Raw in about a month where I fast-forwarded through a few segments and fast-forwarded through the matches.
Yeah.
Past 3 weeks prior to this this past week, I've been watching... I watched
pretty
every single second.
Pretty on point. But, yeah, guys.
So, what are your final thoughts? Where do you see this going? Extreme Rules is a week away.
I think it's
a week from this Sunday.
I think it's going to be better than Payback.
Really, you think that?
Well, that four-way Intercontinental title match will probably start the event, and I think the AJ versus Reigns one won't be like restarted constantly because it's an Extreme Rules match, so it'll have better flow. It's going to be a better event, and the Jersey crowd.
I think the Jersey crowd is what's going to make this show.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Like just. Watch, guys. Watch.
All right.
Sierra Hotel.
When this song got cheers.
Shield. God, I missed the Shield so much.
I missed when this song got cheers.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening to Brain Stew Wrestling. I almost said Brain Stew Radio. Thanks for listening to Brain Stew Wrestling, guys. The podcast will be up shortly. Hipster Punchy on Twitter. Any shows you want to promote?
Yeah, Slaughter Stand Up Summer Showdown. June 17th is my day for the first round. That's a Friday.
And you can follow him again at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. You can follow at Brain Stew. You can follow Brain Stew Wrestling on Twitter. We're on Twitter and Facebook now.
Yeah, so follow
Facebook.com/BrainStewWrestling at BSR Wrestling on the Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber. Thanks, guys, for listening. We shall see you this time next week, where we will promptly announce that Adam Rose has been fired from WWE. So look forward to that. And we'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Good night, guys.